how many jobs were created in December, and how that will play into the presidential election.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. In less than an hour, the Labor Department's job report for December comes out. And if the numbers are strong, as they're expected to be, it would mark the sixth straight month that we've added more than 100,000 jobs. Employment is shaping up to be the election year issue. Mitchell Hartman has more.
Private employers added more than 1.5 million jobs in 2011. Pretty good, but not good enough to help most of the 13 million Americans who are still unemployed. Economist Kurt Rankin at PNC Bank predicts job growth will continue at this same slow pace right through election time.
Those job gains only get us down to about 8.6 or 8.7% unemployment rate.
Not all analysts are quite so pessimistic, but most still see unemployment hovering above 8%, including Andy LaPerrier at ISI Group.
That's going to feel more like an economy that's not really recovering rather than an economy that's on the mend. That's an environment where the president will be very much on the defensive.
And he says there are several potential stumbling blocks that could derail growth between now and November, like the European debt crisis, oil prices, or more congressional squabbling over spending and taxes. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And speaking of jobs, Chrysler announced plans to add 1,100 of them at its assembly plant in Detroit. The new workers will build a diesel version of the Jeep Cherokee. It's the latest of many U.S. automaker announcements for diesel cars and trucks. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Eve Troe is here with us live to tell us more. Good morning, Eve.
Good morning.
So, Eve, which cars are going diesel and when will we see them on the market?
Well, the Chrysler Jeep Grand Cherokee diesel has been sold in Europe for years, but we'll see the U.S. model next year or 2014. Chevy's making a diesel version of the Cruze for the U.S. It'll come out next year. Ford has a new Focus Econetic diesel. That's for Europe. But really, all the U.S. automakers are pursuing a diesel strategy. That's what Ray Wirt told me this morning. He's the editor-in-chief of the car blog, Jalopnik.com.
There's a need on every automaker's part to hit the new fuel economy regulations. And an easy way to do that is to start offering diesel powertrains. They're more efficient, they're quiet, they're quick to start, and they're durable.
He says they're 33% more fuel efficient on average, and we're talking 50 to 60 miles per gallon.
Wow. Well, if diesel engines are better, why haven't we seen more of them in the U.S.?
Diesel got a bad rap in the U.S. a few decades ago. It was thought to be dirty and loud and smelly. So gas engines just really took over the market. And also gas got a lot cheaper here with subsidies. Diesel engines are also more expensive to make, so it just hasn't been worth the cost for U.S. consumers. But the European automakers have stuck with diesel engines. They've really tweaked them into these high-performing models because they do want that better mileage. Gas is more expensive over there because of taxes. But now the U.S. automakers have to get better mileage on all their vehicles by law. So they're building new hybrids and electrics, but that's going to be more expensive than adopting this diesel technology. That's already ripe for the picking.
Marketplace's Eve Troe with us here in Los Angeles. Thank you, Eve.
Thank you.
European markets are up in anticipation of good employment news later this morning. London's FTSE and Germany's DAX are both up about 0.5%. And ask not for whom the tax man comes, especially if you're part of the 1%. The IRS released figures showing about 1 in 10 millionaires were audited last year, up 50% from the year before. Only about 1% of those earning less than $200,000 a year were audited. Yesterday, U.S. markets were mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell just a hair, ending the day at 12,415.
American Public Media announces the Splendid Tables new book, How to Eat Weekends, with dozens of new recipes, now available at bookstores nationwide.
If you feel like your boss has been piling more tasks on you, or that you keep being asked to do more with less, you're probably onto something. Since the financial crisis, employers have pushed employees to be more productive. Today's jobs report will also give us some new data on how productive we were in December. From Washington, Marketplace's David Gura has more.
Dr. Sandra Spohr works in Stillwater, Minnesota. Business is down and her clinic has had to cut back. The receptionist used to be full-time. Now Spohr says it's a part-time position. That's all they can afford. So even though Spohr is a physician, she has to pitch in around the office.
I'm doing more of the answering the phone and the scheduling and answering people's questions.
Spohr has to work harder. She has to be more productive.
I have to say it's harder than I thought it was going to be.
The same thing is happening across the country, in clinics and restaurants, in firms and factories. Michael Greenstone is an economist at MIT, and he says employers expect employees to do more work, to work longer hours.
What we're waiting for in the labor market is for firms to conclude that coming demand is large enough that it can't be met by squeezing more out of their existing workers and machines.
That they can justify hiring. In the meantime, companies are pushing workers to do as much as they can, more than they're used to. Gary Bertless is a fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says that when times are tough, employers have the upper hand.
Look, there's a lot of evidence that the bargaining power of workers in this job market is very weak.
No one wants to be out of work, but that's especially true when the unemployment rate is as high as it is.
When workers think that there's a good chance that they can be dismissed for putting in less than their best effort, they might work awfully hard for a long time.
Workers are reluctant to go on vacation, they're afraid to complain, and they're less likely to quit without another job lined up. Bertless says that since the recession set in, the quit rate has dropped by a third. But there's only so much workers can do to boost productivity before they hit a breaking point. And usually that's when companies realize there's an upturn in business. MIT economist Michael Greenstone says we're not there yet. Employers have a list of what they're waiting for.
Numbers 1, 2, and 3 are more demand.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, between crippling credit card bills and New Year's resolutions, January is traditionally a bad month for fast food restaurants. And so you may notice a lot of deals cropping up at a drive-thru near you. Wendy's is rolling out a cheesy cheddar burger for 99 cents. KFC is unveiling an $11 weekend bucket. That would be 10 pieces of chicken. Burger King is mailing out coupon books. And Taco Bell has just brought back the beefy crunch burrito for 99 cents. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
With 13 million Americans looking for work, there's one job that's got to be a busy gig.
Well, you know, you could have your pity party for 10 minutes, but if you're a survivor, you can't give up. You know, look at the resources that are out there. Just don't give up.
I'm Tess Vigeland, a look into the life of a job counselor. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.